Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my returning guest, Tess Dalka, who is an angel communicator. She also utilizes card interpretations, astrological insights, and channeling with the angels in order to provide a multi-dimensional message to her clients. And today, Tess is going to explain how astrological reports can benefit you in your daily life. And I just recently had one done with Tess so that I can actually speak from experience. So welcome back, Tess, and please initially at least share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you, because I think some are going to want to come and have a astrological report done.
Well, thank you. Yes, and I do most of my sessions out of Serenity Now, which is in Palm Harbor. And the number there is 727-787-5400. Again, 727-787-5400. They can also give you my number so you can contact me personally, because I can do Skype or FaceTime, and so I work with people internationally. So as far as contact me, that's probably the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had another question for me? I was just telling you where to contact me.
Okay.
Come say hi.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things when I was doing a little research into this, because I had an astrology report done probably back in my 20s, maybe, and I found it very fascinating, but it wasn't an avenue that I went down all that often, other than understanding that I'm a Scorpio. And if I tell that to people, a lot of times they go, oh, we got to be careful about you. And I was like, I don't think I'm a typical Scorpio for some reason, because I don't have much of a sting and I don't hold grudges. And so I don't know. I think maybe people plug into when they're born, but that's not necessarily who they are. It's kind of like where they have evolved to in terms of their spirituality, you know, their soul.
Yes. And actually, my biggest motivation to share this astrology information with you today is because there's so many, I kind of think of misconceptions of how to work with astrology so that we're not getting the full benefit, or when somebody is having that misconception. So when we think of it in its fullness, which is always about honoring the beauty of who we are, and the beauty of our life experience is how it's meant to be for us.
Right.
So to give you that example, I wanted to share this with you about Scorpio so you can always know. So Scorpio energy is really an energy of great owning of individual power. And it can be viewed in three ways. So if somebody is hiding from their shining in the world, right, they liken it to a lizard. You know, it's like a going beneath, and so it's kind of into the darkness and not coming out. If they're coming out, but they're still holding on to a feeling that they can be harmed, and we'll talk about that too when we talk about the Chiron transit, then it can have that scorpion that's the Scorpio, and so it has a Scorpio sting. Now in your case, because I know you very well, I can tell you you're actually the third understanding of Scorpio. So Scorpio in particular has three ways that you can look at it: the lizard, the scorpion, which is what's been thought of the most, and the eagle.
Oh, okay.
I know. So, and you even have an eagle on your wall.
Right.
So here you have this amazing, as you say, synergistic connection. You have a symbolic connection to something that you've been living, but your mind hasn't registered that you're doing something that is so you. It's actually recognizable in your chart. So your sun sign, which a sun is just where the sun was when you were born, which is the fire, what fuels our passion. We have actually all the planets where they were at the time of our birth make up the natal chart, which allows us to really understand ourselves. But just the sun sign alone, you have come into a connection of power in yourself without even knowing that it was about your sun sign. So you have become the eagle. And the eagle is that we can see with that sight that goes beyond, you know, just the ground level. And one of my favorite ways to talk to people about understanding how to connect into our higher self is if you picture yourself going down a river in a canoe, and there's multiple paths, and you would feel a bit confused and anxious about which path is, quote, the best path or the safe path or the right path. But then if you are from an eagle's viewpoint,
you see
that all the paths have their own particular journey, and most of them are going to lead to the same place, or all of them are going to lead to the same place eventually. So you wouldn't have that same apprehension, and you'd also choose from that perspective. So that's what the eagle does. So now you can say, oh, but I'm the eagle in the Scorpio sign.
I had no idea.
Yay!
Absolutely no idea.
New information, new life.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've read, which I found very fascinating, is that astrology has been done, you know, with people for thousands and thousands of years. And they were looking at it from more, I think, where the planets were at different times and how they viewed, whether it had to do with harvest or going to war or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yes.
That they would look at the planets and make their decision based upon the position of the planets at that particular time, meaning whether they would be successful. So I know we talked about the fact that it had a lot to do with divination, and I think you wanted to address that.
Yes, I really do. So, and first let me also just touch on the subject of when astrology was developed. It was developed because, well, mostly it was developed because our higher consciousness is always coming in and expanding our mind to new ideas, and which allows us to experience more of ourselves. So when it first came in, it was a correlation observation between where the planets were and what was happening as a significance to the community. And at that time, rulers, right, were considered the most significant thing, aspect of the communities. So yes, they'd look for wars and harvests, but they'd also, the people who were the rulers would really use that a lot to gain the most power within themselves and in their community. And what I love is that it was actually through that word divination, which we'll go to in a moment, through a clash between the church and the old ways, so to speak, that astrology was taken out of not only favor, but it was actually illegal. Until they started to use it for the, quote, common person as a psychological tool more, as a way of understanding.
So how many years was it actually illegal?
I don't know. I actually have studied it at different times. Like, I went back to look at it. If you ever write an article, you know, you go back and find dates and so forth. But I was, I know it was, I want to say, and don't quote me, I think it was as early as, or recent as the 1700s.
Because I know we had witches that were burned at the...
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
No. And I'm sure they used, you know, used astrology, because there was a place, I think some people that do like a bucket list of things that they want to experience. There was a place in St. Louis, actually in St. Charles, Missouri, which was the first capital of Missouri. And I lived in that area. And a lot of the old historic homes had been used for witchcraft, and they allowed us to go to the second floor, which they held some of their meetings at, and they had carved and then burned on the floor all of those signs of the zodiac.
Oh, beautiful.
And so it was just amazing. But, you know, I think up until fairly recently, you know, in our history, we no longer look at the zodiac or our signs as anything that remotely has to do with witchcraft.
Well, and addressing that as well as the astrology and astronomy were mm-hmm. one science, mm-hmm. and they were actually studied, you know, in universities,
right?
Until they became outlawed,
right? And just the church outlawed them.
Yes, at the time, you mm-hmm. know, and I think it's become much more integrated into the churches. You know, I know I've seen Christian astrology and different mm-hmm. things. So, mm-hmm. And everything that's challenging for us doesn't have to necessarily go this way, and this is what I like to study in astrology. It doesn't have to be a negative, like right. we don't have to go to the negative, but we always get something out of it. And so what came out of it and is that it started to go to the everyday person because and just about their personality, which was really nice because going back to divination, mm-hmm. Divination has, and for pretty much I think anybody I've talk to usually is thought of as predicting, mm-hmm. saying I'm telling you this is what's going to happen,
right?
And
the Edgar Casey kind of thing,
yes, or and anything and cards were used mm-hmm. that way. And when I use cards and when I use astrology and the channeling and what I've done, you know, as you know, I study using the cards and using the channeling to really talk to the angels, which I think of as our higher selves, mm-hmm. our parentage, family, you know, whatever you want to call it, that we're like little baby angels.
Right.
So when I use this, it's to understand how do we think in a way that allows us to really be in heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that they've told me is that divination is recognizing that we're all divine.
Right. And that's scary for a lot of people because I know individuals who think of that as heresy. You know, that how can we be divine if Jesus is divine, God is divine, how can you put us in the same classification? And they don't quite understand that we are a part of the divine, so therefore we are.
Yes, and I think that it, to me, it's kind of like when somebody says you have to be humble. You know, I think humility comes naturally when you look at the universe and how miraculous it is. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I just get to enjoy it.
Right.
But if we disconnect ourselves from the universe and
right.
the miracle,
right.
we disconnect ourselves from the divine, then it wouldn't make any sense because how can something be created from something and not be of it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's the, and that's what they've worked so hard as they with us is to say, just like a child has separation anxiety, they say you, in order to have your own individual experience, you have to realize that you're separate in experience from your parents,
right?
A child thinks that they are one with their parent. They have to realize they're separate. But to be separate doesn't mean not to be cared for or not to have the worth that you had before you knew that, not to have the safety, the security.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we start to see our individual experience and expression is actually just our gift of enjoyment,
mm-hmm.
it is not there as something that we've done wrong. It's we only forgot who we were, just like a baby, long enough to have a new experience.
Right.
And so that's what the divining is it's the recognizing the feeling of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the scientific terminology. I call it, you know, our life is quantum physical.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I use innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection from a psychological perspective, like you would think of a child. We're all, you know, children of the divine. But I use infinite potential that's always here for us as multidimensional beings having a finite experience of enjoyment.
Right, of enjoyment.
Of enjoyment right. as our understanding of, you know, where do I put our feet down? And divining means from that place, that feeling of, hey, we're here as, you know, enjoyment and we're cared for. How do I look at my thoughts as perception so that I can then determine, you know, which way is best to think in this situation?
Right.
And you that's know, a psychological thing.
It yes. is. I don't know. As you know, I tend to channel quite a bit of the time myself.
Yes.
And one of the things that I was hearing as you were talking about that is the number of times people on their deathbed,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're transitioning
mm-hmm.
in those final hours or moments. And I think that's what happens is that they actually begin to see, oh, I'm just returning to the divine.
Yes.
because they relax. Mm-hmm. They're no longer fighting anything because there's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real. So we think that we're separate and that we're going through everything alone, but in reality, we're not.
Yes, and I work quite a bit. I don't act as a medium, meaning I don't channel specific, you know, like I'm talking for somebody. Mm-hmm. I work with the angels and act as a channel mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do a lot with people when somebody's transitioning into the release of that particular physical form that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Into opening to seeing, you know, the greater aspect of themselves is how I talk about it. I don't think of it as death. Mm-hmm. I actually don't believe in the death the way we perceived it.
Well, the body dies.
Yeah, but the physical connection that mm-hmm. we had to a particular form
mm-hmm.
shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are those little technicalities, but just the reason I think of it this way, and I like to allow that we get to have a greater understanding of ourselves while we're still interacting with the past understanding. But and let me explain. So when I have people come in and we work together on it, there's profound connection and communication that continues after the person that they had mm-hmm. as a physical form or no longer in physical form.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that that person goes away, that they die,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't really be honoring the truth within us.
Right.
So that's why I say I don't believe in death. I believe in a shift in the physical aspects, the quantum physical aspect.
The quantum,
the
right.
quantum physical
right.
aspect.
Right.
It's kind of fun when we start to play with that.
Well, one, I think possibly I even talked about this with you in the past, but it fits right at the moment that when my husband died almost, it'll be 2 years in October, but I mentioned this to his physician and he told me at the time, he said, that's just impossible. And I said, no, I said, it's not. Because it happened, so it can't be impossible. But what had taken place is he did not want me with him at the moment of death. So he literally blocked energetically my phone from hospice calling me. He blocked his son's phone from hospice calling him because we were close enough that we could have gotten there. And when we had been sent home saying, no, it's not going to happen tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. So by the time I got there, it had been like 5 minutes that Jack had passed away. But when I picked up his hand was warm. Now, this is very interesting for those listening because his body had been cold to the touch for over 3 years because of a condition called pericardial effusion. And it had changed the temperature, I will say, of his body significantly. So for him to have a warm hand was impossible. I mean, he'd not had a warm hand for over 3 years. And yet his hand stayed totally warm for 2 hours while we waited for the coroner to come. And I stayed with him. I was in and out of the room, but I stayed with him during that time. And his hand never got cold. Now, after the coroner came, they put them in a beautiful little quilted bag.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to say goodbye one last time. And his hand and everything about him was cold at that moment.
Mm.
So it's just one of those things that tells you that we understand so little
yes.
of how we transition. And that the spirit has the ability to do amazing things that we don't think of them as being able to do.
Exactly. And I really invite people to open again to looking at life as the thoughts that we currently are having
mm-hmm.
are connected to the thoughts that we choose
right.
to continue from past thoughts.
Right.
And the thoughts that come in that allow something new are when we choose to release the thoughts that we had from past thoughts
mm-hmm.
and open to something that we would not be able to currently conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they say this, the angels always say this, is because they said you can't have a new experience until you have a new thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know what the new thought is because you can only base it on what you've already experienced.
Right.
So, but there's something more to us than what I call the engaged mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's something more that does. It's the eagle that's soaring, that mm-hmm. does see all the different path. And that's the divination saying, I'm going to the divine in myself and what I'm in, mm-hmm. right? The divine I'm in, it's in me because I'm in it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to the divine by opening my mind up and not thinking I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we have a different experience. And that's what happens, the opportunity that happens so often, which I love working with people who are going through a shift of some sort. You know, whether, because every shift is a quantum physical release of preconceived ideas of mm-hmm. the physical, mm-hmm. right? So if you, you know, have it where you lose a job or you're going to a new job or a person that you are close to is letting go of their previous physical form, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, everything you already thought you knew doesn't have any weight. You can't, because you know mentally associative learning, I don't know what this is because I've never been at this job. I don't know what this is because I've never had this person not in a physical form in the way that I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So to me, they're still in a quantum physical form. They're just not in the old thought of it.
Right.
So, and then when I do have it where I work with people like this, it's amazing because not only do they have a different experience with the person that they thought that they were going to lose and now realize they're just going to have a whole different relationship with, which, mm-hmm. you know, it's wonderful to have the physical, and that's why we're here. But I have seen relationships between people grow to such depth when the physical form shifts because they don't hold on to, oh, this person's like this, and this person's like this, and they think this of me. They open their mind. So it's a really profound way to still feel that loving connection and to also grow.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at, I mean, we're going to use me, I guess, as an example a little bit here so that you can explain what these different symbols maybe mean within the chart. But when I had my reading with you, it was July 30th,
yes.
So not that very long ago. And one of the things that fascinated me, and I don't understand it at all, so I'm not going to pretend to understand, but there were three planets that were at 13 degrees, and that was Jupiter, Venus, and Chiron?
Correct. Chiron technically is an asteroid, but yes.
Okay. And I know you told me that the orb was only 3 degrees, which meant that that was a very strong...
Actually, those three planets, they were what we call conjunct. So before we do that, let me tell mm-hmm. you this real quickly so the people who are listening understand. A natal chart, which means just natal, you know, your birth chart, mm-hmm. is a configuration that looks like a circle. And it has it where it's 12
it's like
sections.
Pie charts.
Yeah, it's like a little pie, 12 sections. Each section... You know, and this is all done energetically. This mm-hmm. is about an energetic understanding. It's not, that's why they say it's not scientific, because it's not so technical. Mm-hmm. But when we open to connections, like you said, synergistically, symbolically, then what we find is that we're able to communicate to that divine self, that higher self. And so this is what this is for. So it has this circle, and in this circle, it has sections that are 12 sections, like you said, like a pie. And each section represents a different part of your life. And then those planets in the sky, on the minute you are born, are placed in this chart through, thank gosh, it's done through a computer. People used to do this themselves, and I don't even know how to do it. They'd calculate it out.
Oh,
and
man.
Luckily the computer was working with it, you know, programs were working with it by the time I got into it about 20 years ago. So the planets are then put onto this chart, and all of the planets represent a different part of your personality, and then they're also in different places, sections, that represent a different part of your life, meaning one will be about self, one will be about others, one section. One will be about home and family, one will be about career. So it gives us an ability to look at what's important and significant and unique about each individual so that they can really own and love it, just like the royals did. So we're all royalty now, mm-hmm. which I love. And then it also allows us to see what's happening. That's the transits, which is where the planets are in the sky. So then that's what we'd use for timing. And so when a planet like the moon or Mercury is in the sky at like this date today, we would look at that in connection to your personal chart and how it's connecting in, and then we could tell you things about your timing. And the reason you use it is, again, the beauty of saying, I already was connecting to that. Or, yes, this something was happening and I thought something was going wrong. No, it's a shift that's here for you. Mm-hmm. So just that was, I want to make sure I gave that background. Mm-hmm. And then to address specifically your question, in your chart, I shared with you in the house of relationships, the seventh house, there is a planet Venus. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know Venus, Jupiter, and then the asteroid Chiron, which Chiron is called the wounded healer. It's where we had, the way I interpret it, is it's where we had thought we were wounded. It used to be where we were wounded, but I say thought because I like to know that eternally we're not really harmed. We might be hurt, but we thought we were wounded. And once we release that connection to the wounding, we realize that our kind of in our immortality, the story is, and it's a beautiful story, but I won't go into it too much now, of Chiron and how that worked. But so you have that aspect with Venus, how you love, who you love, and Jupiter, your higher consciousness, all connected at exactly 13 degrees. And we call that a conjunction. And when it's exact, then it's incredibly powerful, which basically, I joke around, you know, that it's all Greek, right?
Right.
So once I get into the technical terms, which I won't do too much right now, it kind of is confusing, but I tell people just think of it like you go to a doctor and they tell you a technical term and then they explain it. Mm-hmm. So I tell the technical terms so that we can start to understand it a little bit, and then explaining it, basically that means that you take something that could have been thought of as a wounding, right? That could have been thought of as, oh, this hurt me. And you have a love of going to that place and you bring love to that place. And you, the Jupiter is the higher consciousness. So Venus was the love part. The Chiron was the wounded part. The Jupiter is the expanded consciousness part. And then you bring, it's, and it's so funny because you brought up that, the Scorpio, you bring the eagle in.
Mm-hmm.
You bring the eagle, you look from higher consciousness, and you realize that with love, you can feel whole and not wounded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your natural, and that's how you actually interact with others, because it's in your house of relationships. So now you have this very potent thing, which you already know you do because you know yourself. But to know that it's here with somebody who's never met you, mm-hmm. right? And I've met you, but I, with the chart that I love is when you go to another person, they're going to see those same aspects. They may have a little bit of a different interpretation mm-hmm. than I might, but it's still going to be very similar if they are reading them. And then that goes into what you were talking about, a 3-degree orb of Uranus, which we can make a lot of funny jokes there, and I'm not even going to do it.
Okay.
We've had some fun with that planet, that poor planet, I mean, honestly. But anyway, so, which is at 16 degrees Gemini. So there's a what they call trine, a natural talent, and that's changing your day-to-day life. So for you in particular, you make great changes in your day-to-day life when you look at something that would have been conceived of as a wounding with that loving energy that you have and the higher consciousness, and you shift. It's just amazing. And because I know your background, you're a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually did that and do that for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's really, really beautiful.
Hmm. Very interesting how all that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then there was something on the chart that said it was 7 degrees Neptune, which had to do with spirituality.
Yes, and that actually was connected as well. So I didn't go into it because it wasn't the exact degree, but I think it's very helpful that you bring this up. So at 7 degrees Libra, your Neptune is at 7 degrees Libra, and I didn't say what the Chiron, Venus, and Jupiter were at 13 degrees Libra.
Mm.
So this is actually connected in that. So you technically have Neptune, which is your spirituality, it represents your spirituality, connected to your Chiron, which is where you recognize that you can't be harmed, you could be hurt. But that's, again, that separation anxiety. We go back to mom, you know, dad, mm-hmm. and say, oh, this hurt, and they hug us and we feel all better.
Right. Kissing boo-boos.
Kissing boo-boos. So that and the Venus and the Jupiter. So that seven makes it a larger orb, you know, that's 8 degrees between 13 and 7. So it's, but it's still connected. It's just not as strong. That 13, 13, 13 was just, like, it is the same degree. So it's just like one.
Right.
And so that's one of the ways that we interpret it and work with it.
Okay. So again, for people that are listening, I guess the planets shift, you know, they move a little bit. And because one of the comments you had made was that Jupiter was still in the ninth house, but it was moving into the 10th. So maybe you can explain
Transits are very important. Okay. So the first thing we were talking about just now, or previously, about your Venus, your Jupiter, and your Chiron, is something I would do with somebody when I'm doing their chart, is we look at personal planets, is what it's called, natal chart, and we look at how everything is connected for your individual expression this lifetime. Then, as I was saying earlier, we look at where planets are in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at where planets are in the sky, we connect them into your particular chart. So for somebody else, Jupiter may be transiting their first house, the house of self. For you, Jupiter's transiting your ninth house, which is house of higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So the transits are really my passion.
And they take a long time, I think you said. So sometimes you can be in that transit for like 7 years.
Depending on the planet. Mm-hmm. So you know how some planets are closer to the sun and they move faster, and some are closer to Earth and so we experience them faster, and some are further out. So Pluto, for instance, can take 10 years to go through a sign or a house. So there's,
because it's further away.
Exactly.
Okay.
So just like there's the 12 houses, there's the 12 signs. So Pluto can take a really long time, and if it's transiting, quote, transiting a planet, the personal planet that you have, that can, you know, be going on for years. And that's very significant. The moon, you know, as a contrast, goes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it moves around your whole chart, you know, within the 30 days.
30 days, yeah. Right, right.
So having that means that, you know, the moon is very significant because of the connection. It's literally like our reflection. And I hope we get a chance to talk about it now. If not, I'll do it at the end or another time. But the moon, the new moon, full moon is so powerful and significant. But it is very fast. But it's telling you right then, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. What's happening personally? The other is more of a longer term, like Chiron can take, you know, anywhere between, well, it can be very fast or it can take a year and a half to transit.
I know for some individuals that use sage, for instance, they will do a ceremony with sage at the beginning and then again at the end, you know, whatever they've wanted maybe to bring into
the
bring into their life or whatever maybe was completed. I don't know whether I'm saying that quite right, but I know that there are a lot of ceremonies that are done with sage that kind of allow for any negativity to move on.
Right.
And again, bringing in, maybe it's abundance, maybe it's love, maybe it's health, but whatever they want to bring in with the new moon. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, and I love, yes, the new moon is when a new thought, the way I like to think of it is a new thought is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's connecting to where the current thought is and breaking that current thought up, so we can release the old thought, because you can't have a new experience until you have a new thought, right?
Exactly.
So we're releasing the old thought and opening to something new. By the time it gets to the full moon, we're seeing the full reflection of what we've done so far with it.
Mm-hmm.
Once we embrace the beauty of shifting and having new thoughts. See, before we were trying to understand, is the new thought coming in because I've done something wrong? If you come from that perspective, which, you know, we've talked in past...
A limited one.
Yeah. Thinking that there's that the infinite that's here for us could be in lack, which it doesn't make any sense once we technically really look at it.
Right.
But again, we had to forget everything. So we're little babies. We don't know. We're like, you know, separation anxiety. Does mommy hate me? You know, I'm not in her arms. No. You're just getting to have your own individual experience, but you're cared for.
Mm-hmm.
So once we come from that, the new thoughts are exciting, and we let go of the old thoughts. But in that process, it breaks up. Right now, we kind of experience somewhat of a holding on a little bit.
Right.
So the full moon can be a much more powerful and sometimes challenging experience because it's the reflection of what we're still holding on to sometimes, as opposed to just the new. But if we really did let go, then the full moon is like this, wow, look at what I just allowed in.
You know, the picture I'm getting in my mind is when we're teaching a child how to be on a bicycle, and you take the training wheels off.
Yes.
And you give them that little push, and you've got this.
Yes.
And, you know, the wobbly, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it. And there's such excitement.
Such excitement. And there might be some apprehension, you know, because we're not used to it. We don't know. Once we recognize the unknown as the infinite that's here for us, it's much more fun to do that. But if we have that apprehension, and that's okay. The apprehension is telling us, I'm not ready for the training wheels to go off. And honoring that is more important than taking the training wheels off.
Right.
So I'm not saying jump in. I'm saying honor that your apprehension is not because you're not going to be able to do it. It's because you're still getting your confidence.
Right.
And so that's what's... And actually, I'm glad we talked about the new moon, full moon, because it's really... That's what all of these transits are about. The new moon, full moon happens every 2 weeks. So you'll have a new moon every 2 weeks and a full moon every 2 weeks.
So look how many learning experiences you get to have in a lifetime. Because they're all there. I mean, the transits can be slow.
Yeah.
And you are who you are based upon where the planets were at birth. But you get to re-experience learning every 30 days. A new thought. And are you ready to let go of it by the end of the month?
Let go of the old one. Mm-hmm. And and it's nothing that you have to let go of. It's just because there's something new. And I like to use something that's kind of just an easy thing to look at. The person who thought of a cordless phone. You know, he had a phone with a cord. He didn't have a cordless phone when he thought of a cordless phone. He went, I don't like this cord.
Right.
And then he said, maybe I could have a cordless phone. So he had to be open to the new thought without seeing that it was going to work.
Right. Well, I mean, look at computers.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything.
If we go back 45, 50 years ago, they took up whole buildings.
Yeah.
Now you've got everything in a phone, you know, that we used to do with buildings.
And all of that just kind of, quote, came to somebody. That's why I say, when we say the word channeling, I don't think of it as doing something that's different than what everybody does every day. Anytime we open to something beyond what our mind was thinking, we're expanding ourselves to a new place.
Right.
And we're channeling in from that new place because our mind, what I love about our mind and what I've been studying with the angels is they call it the engaged mind, meaning our mind is just how we focus so that we can have a finite experience. You can't have an experience of a chocolate ice cream cone if you have every ice cream cone in your mindset at that time and you're experiencing it all at once. You won't have an individual. So we have to focus, but if we're not into whatever we've been experiencing, we have to release the thought that that's how it's going to continue. You know, even if we can't see what's going to be next or how it's going to change, and that's great in relationships, right? Instead of thinking the person's going to be a certain way, think, well, why would I want to think he's going to be that way? I don't enjoy him that way or her. I'd like to experience them differently. I don't know how they can be different. I don't know how I can be different, but I'm going to stop thinking we're going to be the same way.
So it's constantly an evolving situation.
It's constantly growing into something new and fun.
Yeah.
Because we're not here, and they corrected me. I actually said to them one time, so we're here to enjoy life. And they said, no. And I went through this whole process because I used the cards to get out of my mind, you know, in channeling. And what I finally got to with them is that it was... To think that we're here to enjoy life means that we have a responsibility. And they're like, you're children. You're children of heaven. You're here to play. You know, so you're here for enjoyment. And yes, it's being respectful to the other children, right?
Right.
It's not play if we're not respectful to the other children, but it's not thinking we're responsible for them or we're responsible to mother, father to make sure we're good. We're here to be honoring of the fact that we're here for enjoyment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not to prove it. Okay, yeah. So going back, though, to the chart, the transits, again, we talked about the moon. And the new moon, the full moon, the same thing happens with all the planets.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, this individual being, and think about the spiral where you actually are coming to the same points in a circle, but it's from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So your chart is that spiral. You are always having that fun signature, but that signature has got a multitude of experiences. And when we look at where the planets are connecting, we see the symbolic connection of what's happening in our own personal timing. And what I love about it is it gives us so much more confidence, because as you saw when we went into your chart, what was happening in your life is happening in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fake that because I know you, because and I actually have a book that we carry a lot of times at Serenity called Transits by Robert, I want to say Hand. He's the one, AstroDNs, Astro.com, which, by the way, is a wonderful place to go for charts and resources. He is the person who wrote the interpretations. You know how you can, like, put your birth information in and it'll say, your Venus is in this house and it means this. I don't know if you've ever done that. But,
no.
Oh, okay. Astro.com. You can do that.
Okay.
And that's one of the best ways for people to learn is they have it on that website. You can do a click chart. And so it'll give you pre-written blurbs about, you know, Venus in the seventh house, or when Pluto's transiting your natal Venus, meaning when Pluto's in the sky connecting to your Venus where you were when you were born,
mm-hmm.
which is a very big transit. And if you don't know about it, you may think things are happening to you in your love life or in love that are devastating or overwhelming or extremely overpowering, right? But really, it's that you're coming into your power there. So when I do charts in particular, just like I do with cards, it's all about saging.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, sage is going to the higher consciousness,
uh-huh.
right? Clearing through the thoughts that don't make any sense anymore so we can go to the next experience.
Right.
So that's why I loved when you said saging.
Right.
The saging, to me, I love the double entendres. I love the word puns. You know, that's so significant because it's telling us the depth of each word and its meaning. And when we look into that more, we look more into our own inner consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So to sage, to have an herb called a sage that they use to clear,
mm-hmm.
is the same as the sage person, mm-hmm. who's a wise person. And that's what, when I say I'm doing clearings, all I'm meaning is I'm going to the wisdom. And then I let go of the old thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a number of friends right now that are making some transitions in their own personal life,
mm-hmm.
and they're not so much doing saging, but what they are doing is they're clearing out old things,
yes.
that no longer serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're tangible things. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it might be clothes to donate. It might be furniture that they no longer need that's been with them for a long time, books being donated. But I find it interesting because as we make those little transitions, we do look around and go, is this still serving me?
Yes. And the angels say the only memories to hold on to, the only thoughts of the past,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a person, a thing, yourself,
mm-hmm.
the only things to hold on to from the past are those that you enjoy.
Right.
And then you let go of everything else, because what we hold on to is what we continue to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in judgment. You know, they don't even believe. Why would you be bad? You're just learning how to use your power of perception.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is our creative tool as little babies. The universe is provided for us. We're not here to provide that, but we are here to have our own experience, and that's done through how we see things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see that I was harmed, going back to the Chiron, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I love working with Chiron with people. And don't let me forget, I want to make sure I mention three big transits so everybody knows, because they're generational. So when we think that we could be harmed from the past, then we continue with that experience in the present. But if we look back at the past and go, why would I even go into that?
Right.
You know, if I need to resolve something, to resolve like a pattern, maybe I would look at it and they will bring it up like, this is a pattern that you're continuing, so you can look at the pattern. You don't have to look at the past. It's right here. You still don't have to go to the past. It didn't come from the past. It's coming from your thoughts now. As
right.
soon as you look at that pattern,
right.
you know through counseling, and you say, why would I continue thinking this is going to be my pattern?
Right.
It goes. But the things we loved, why would I stop thinking about those things? I
exactly.
love those things.
Yeah.
And then they will continue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe given where we are in the show, maybe you want to talk about the generational part.
I do. I really do.
Okay.
Because this can go out for everybody. Just
okay.
like everyone knows about the moons.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can use that. There are three transits. Remember, transit is where the planet is
mm-hmm.
in the sky. And then we connect it into our own personal chart. Now, usually you have to do a chart and know about, you know, how to read it in order to understand your transits. It's fun. It can be done. But there's another thing that is generational, and it happens, one happens around 30, give or take 2 years, so between 28 and 32, because it's different for each person based on their chart. One happens at 40, give or take 2 years, because they both of those transits usually take about 2 years, a year and a half to 2 years, well, 2 to 2.5 years, actually, but 40, give or take 2 years, so that's 38 to 42, and then 50, give or take a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so these transits happen for every, remember, midlife crisis?
No, sure.
All right. So everybody can look back at their time frame around 30, around 40, and around 50. 30 was what we call a Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is, I call it father time,
mm-hmm.
right? Saturn is considered the god of time. We always use that symbol. And it looks like in a chart, it looks kind of like a temple. So to me, it's when it represents where we would honor our own individual experience so that we enjoy being here in
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things the angels said a long, 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 long time ago is they said, you do not ground yourself by pulling yourself in, kicking and screaming. That's not the way to do it. So everybody who's been trying to ground themselves by saying, I have to be here, you're spacing out, you're leaving because you're trying to get to the higher consciousness. Bring the higher consciousness in to your everyday living and apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll want to be in the body. That's why when we did the chakras, we said it's from the top down. You don't open from the bottom up. Because that's not where the higher knowing is. That's what's coming into finite experience.
Which makes total sense when you think.
It's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're doing is, if you can picture it, first you're like 10% aware of who you are when you come into the finite experience, and
mm-hmm.
then 20%,
mm-hmm.
and then 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time you get to where it actually resonates with the truth of who we are, which is why I say infinite potential that's always here for us as multidimensional beings having a finite experience. And I know that's a mouthful, but I say it every time because my body actually feels comfortable with that knowledge as a quantum physical being.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I say that, now I'm all of a sudden going, all right, so why am I here? I'm here for enjoyment. And then I want to be grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyment is my particular signature. That's why I love the chart, because it gets us really into my signature is a Scorpio. But I'm not a Scorpio that goes and hides under the rocks. I'm a Scorpio that flies. I'm an eagle.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it gets us into that signature. Now, at 30 years old, Saturn reminds us, hey, you have a signature here. So your Saturn, for instance, is in Cancer. So your Saturn is about kind of that mothering quality, which is also connected to your Mars. I'm looking at it right now, which is how you assert yourself. And what did you do? Cancer is known for being a counselor, right? You went into counseling.
Right.
And so I don't know what time you did it, but at around 30, give or take 2 years.
It was right there.
Yeah, see? And I didn't even know that before.
Right, right.
So that would have been you utilizing your signature. Mine is in Aries. So that's what made me go into astrology, is I had a very challenging one because I didn't know what was happening. And I was very much about others,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of a sudden, mine is in Aries, which is about being about myself. And I did a rebirth in Aries and all this stuff. But I didn't know I was having a Saturn return. I didn't know charts.
Mm-hmm.
I did it intuitively,
mm-hmm.
just like you did,
mm-hmm.
right? So when we find out we're doing something that has a, connection to the greater knowingness of who we are,
right.
One, we feel more proud of ourselves instead of beating ourselves up. I'm like, why am I all of a sudden mad at everybody? I'm running, beating my chest. It's all about me. It was very challenging. So anyway, so I learned about astrology because of my Saturn return. And it was an interesting story that I'll share sometime. But that's around 30. And everybody's is going to be in a different place, different house. But they could just look back at that age and say, I was doing something. Whatever was important to me at 30, you don't even have to know astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Around that age, whatever I was trying to do, honor it now. Because your Saturn never stops being significant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's your timing that you're really aware of the significance.
Of it. Mm-hmm.
Then again, at 40, you have what we call Uranus opposition. And I call it shaking the apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
So at 30, you're like, okay, I need to be true to myself. At 40, it's like, how true am I being?
Right.
And that's why you have it where people are going, quote, midlife crisis, because if they're not being true to themselves, they're like, I got to do something now, you know, or
right.
They just notice and people will think things are happening outside of them to them.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't understand or what they get to understand, because
mm-hmm.
I like to always be open for people understanding, what they get to understand is that it's happening. Their body, their energetics is telling the world, I'm ready to have something different.
And
they're breaking it up, but not knowing it.
Right. And I it's so interesting that we didn't talk about this before,
no.
But it's so interesting that I had been a teacher, elementary and middle school teacher, went into counseling at that age.
30,
I was like 28, 29.
Yeah, there you go.
And then ended up leaving a marriage and moving to Chicago and taking on a totally different life at the 40s.
So isn't it amazing?
And everybody kept saying to me, why would you leave this beautiful home? Why would you leave your career here in St. Louis? And I was like, I can't explain it to you other than I am being true to myself.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
It was exactly what happened. So, wow.
I know. Isn't
and we,
that
And we
powerful?
Hadn't talked about this.
No, we had not talked about
no.
it.
Okay.
And that's what's so wonderful. And by the way, remember when we went back, Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
Is and Uranus opposition just means that Uranus in the sky is exactly opposite where it was when you were born. So again, that's that reflection. So it seems like something's happening outside, but
mm-hmm.
it's really you saying, I want a different reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you love the reflection,
mm-hmm. I'm
you become even more empowered in it.
Right.
So it's all about just being in yourself. So and that's connected to your that Jupiter, higher consciousness, Venus, what you love, and Chiron, which is the knowing that you can be hurt but not harmed, and the Neptune, which is your spirituality. So remember that natural, I called it a trine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural talent. So you did it. You intuited it because it was so strong. And I like people to be very kind to themselves. Sometimes we are having a path with it that we kind of have blocked a little bit. And so it can be really painful until we start to realize, well, I'm still trying to be true to myself. I'm just... You know, it's like that child who goes through the struggle because they don't want to take off the training wheels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but you know, they can't, they're feeling like they're being held back, but
right.
really it's just that they're getting to do their own timing.
Right.
So Uranus opposition, shaking the apple tree, it lets us be true to ourselves after we had done the Saturn at 30. And Saturn return, just so everyone knows, is when Saturn comes back to the exact place it was in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes 30 years. The last one, 50, Chiron.
Mm-hmm.
So if you first are, you know, true to your own signature, which is Saturn, then you are wanting to be grounded. Then at 40, you go, hey, listen, I'm going to get rid of this. This doesn't work. This works. This. And then you open up even more. Then
mm-hmm.
at Chiron, you don't feel wounded.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like, oh, that hurt a little bit. Or, wow, I got a little scrape from this one.
Right.
But you don't feel wounded.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
Right.
So at 50... You know that, and this is what I used to tell people. This is what I studied, and this is what I've been doing so intensely, is I wanted to integrate the soul as a physical being. I didn't want to bring myself in kicking and screaming. I wanted to shine and feel the joy of life. And just like we learned in psychology, there's a particular mindset that allows that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar to what we already do. It's just coming from the deeper knowing of who we are,
mm-hmm.
right? That gets us there. So at 50, that's where you can then, if you had anything you held on to, like, oh, well, I was harmed by this, and this is why my life is this way, not owning it, which, you know, psychologically doesn't help you, right?
Right.
Not owning it comes into your mindset at that time. You're like, yeah, but now it feels really painful. I think I'm going to let it, because you become aware of where you thought you were wounded, and you decide to let go of that. And then your soul's like, hey, I'm here. So 50 is, it doesn't have to be that we wait till we're 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if somebody is not, you know, because in the before, like I, the kids that are coming in now, boom, we don't even have to even think about it. They're just going to be like, why would I think I'm wounded? They don't have to wait till they're 50. But for us, as an evolving understanding of ourselves, that was our process.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is right now. I mean, you know, I just did the 50 a little while ago, and I was very clear to make sure I allowed the integration. And it happened, of course, right as I finished up all that work I told you about
right.
integrating.
Exactly.
Isn't that
exactly.
great?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's fascinating. Let's see. I'm looking at some notes that I actually had taken from the reading, and I'm going to read this one because I think this is important for maybe listeners out there too. I had written down that it's important to partner up with someone and go do things, you know, like a solid relationship where you have an even exchange of energy. And that there are times when I think people, because I in counseling, I see so many individuals who go out and find somebody that they want to heal or fix.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an unequal exchange of energy because you're
yes.
constantly giving, but you're not receiving.
Yes.
And then those individuals, I suspect, probably around that 40-something, you know, they're going, wait, this doesn't feel good anymore.
Yeah. They can do that at 30, 40, and 50 because mm-hmm. it'll be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be a different take on it,
right.
you know, because we're always going to be the same being. But if you remember when we did the February 14th angels interpretation of
yes,
love,
yes,
what they said is when we think of love, to experience ourselves as recognizing, think of it perceptually, we're in the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is the little joke I used, you know, when you're in Florida, it doesn't mean you don't live in the United States.
Right.
When you're in the United
right.
States, it doesn't mean that you don't live on Earth. When you're on Earth, in Earth, you know, it doesn't mean you don't live in the solar system, which doesn't mean you don't live in the galaxy, which doesn't mean you don't live in the universe. So we're in the heavens,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why they say heaven on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the heavens and we're in everything. So when we're looking at ourselves from a perspective of what can I give to this person, we're not realizing that everything's already provided for.
Right.
And so it's a very uncomfortable experience. It causes us anxiety. It causes them resentment. That's why the whole mother-child thing or father-child thing has been misinterpreted in the past, because we were thinking we were the ones that were going to make sure this child had what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And what they, we are actually taking what's provided for us and sharing it
right.
with
right.
the child who has it provided for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we quantum physically represent that I'm handing you food, but the food didn't come from, I didn't materialize this food. Even if I do my magic, which I plan to be able to do thoroughly, and food can pop into my hand, I still didn't materialize it. I just got good at letting it come out of magic.
Right. Right. Right.
Bringing back that cool witch thing.
Right.
So, I mean, it can be any way we want to have the food come up, whether we harvest it or go to the grocery store or we have some wonderful magical abilities from Hogwarts, which I'm open to. It's still,
you got to get on the train.
Yes, it still came from something that was provided for us.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that anybody is needing to get something
mm-hmm.
is different than thinking I get to share an opportunity for them to see that something is there for them.
Right.
And if it's me handing them the food, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not that I have to do this. And children are just as powerful as adults because we're all baby angels.
Right.
And as far as they're going to be taken care of by the universe, we get to play with it. But, you know, so even if it's a child,
mm-hmm.
we don't, taking that responsibility doesn't
mm-hmm.
work.
All right. So our show is already
over.
We ran
out of time.
So,
it was so much fun.
We'll have to revisit this one too. And that always happens with you. So tell them one more time where they can reach you.
Yes. So Serenity Now. You can go to the website, Serenity Now Books and Gifts. It's in Palm Harbor. The phone number, 727-787-5400. And Tess Dalka.
Yeah, and Tess does do these readings and astrological reports and everything by phone or on Skype. Mm-hmm. So, you know, both ways work. I don't know whether you do video conferencing, you know, and
some
other...
Yeah, I have it set up where, because I do these cards and they're so beautiful, I have it set up where you can actually see the cards as I'm mm-hmm. doing it, so...
And that's fun, yeah. You know, to be able to actually see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes visualizing works, but sometimes you're kind of out there, especially if you haven't experienced it, mm-hmm. So that is awesome. Well, I hope everyone has enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy doing the show together and providing the information for everyone out there listening. Please take anybody that you think should hear today's show to synergyconnectionradio.com. The recorded version is done as a podcast on the website. It will be up this afternoon. I always mention the fact that we are physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental beings. And on the physical side, there is a link to Boomers Forever Young. The products there are totally amazing, and they will certainly help you be your physical best. So join us again next week at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Tess, again for being my guest.
Thank you.
And everyone, go out there and make this your very best day. Have a good one.